My name is Dr. Atul Pawar with 13 plus years of experience into hospital administration and management. Today we'll be discussing about hospital designs on a whole. What exactly is hospital design? Why is it important in hospital planning and designing per se? So we'll be understanding what exactly design consists of, why exactly design is necessary, and how exactly design could be constrained in the hospitals. Let's start with the hospital design. Bed planning and hospital facilities. This is an important aspect to understand in how the facilities would be designed, how exactly the facilities would be undertaken, and what would be the initial stages in which hospital planning and bed planning could be important into the hospital facilities. The bed planning is basically understood in such a way that hospital facilities are designed in direct and indirect population utilization. So what exactly is the direct and indirect population? There are patients which have been referred from smaller town to the larger hospital. Most of the hospitals are situated into the district headquarters or urban areas of the region or probably in the metro region. The patients coming in to the hospitals are from the vast variety or probably the vast urban rural sections of the society. They might be traveling a distance, they might be traveling a large amount of distance to reach to the hospitals where the healthcare facilities would be available. So taking all this into consideration, there's a direct and indirect populations which serves into the hospital. Now this admissions which are there in the hospitals are either direct, that is direct walking, or referred by some other doctors or some other healthcare facilities. So understanding the usage of the hospital and the population coming into the hospital, the utilization or the average length stay or the occupancy of the hospital has been planned. This strategic thinking over bed planning and enhancing the overall health facilities and deliverables. There is also regular assessments done on bed occupancy on the ongoing organization or ongoing hospital. There are different methods to understand what exactly the hospital size would be. There are different methods in understanding how exactly we would determine the hospital size. These methods are based on bed death ratio, that is 0.5% of the general beds are per annual death. So how many amount of beds are there inside the hospital with that 0.5% are the general beds and the rest are considered into suites, triple sharing, double sharing, multiple sharing, general wards, that way. There is a statistical method. There is a formula involved in inpatient admissions, length of stay and occupancy rate. There are two different things. There are planning into two separate hospitals for the better efficiency. This determining the ideal size of overcrowd. This basically what helps it to bed sizing is how exactly the patient is coming. What is the requirement of the patient, where the patients are actually admitted into general ward more or people are opting in for sharing rooms, whether it would be double sharing, triple sharing, or it would be quadruple sharing. Or basically it would be single bed sharing. So how exactly the patients are looking out for beds to be occupied, and based on that there's an ideal size of the hospital or the rooms been considered. Ideal bed size between two beds is basically 400 meters, which has been said to be having ideal capacity. So 150 square feet of area comprises only of 5 beds. So that is how the determination of the beds are being considered. There has to be a 4 feet gap between 2 beds so that there is a smooth functioning of the patient, where nursing staff or the utility staff or the other staffs could actually move freely, and there would be a passage involved into it where the beds could be shifted, or the patient could be shifted from the beds to the stretcher, and the stretcher movements goes ideal. So there is an ideal size And this ideal size prevents into overcrowding and enhancing the functionality of the hospital. There's also consideration for a long-term sustainability where future expansion is considered, so that if at all a hospital needs to increase its bed size, it could be considered. There's an ideal balance which has been maintained between the bed capacity and the administrative efficiency. So every hospital, while starting, determines a particular bed size, and they understand that for particular bed size, let's say 80 operational beds, how much staff has been needed, what is the facilities been needed. So administration becomes efficiently, as well as there is a proper manpower placing out there. Now, if at all the bed capacity increases, if the bed size increases, there's always a shortage of manpower. There is administrative hazards. People are not able to use the facilities rightly. So planning of the bed capacity is the first aspect which has to be looked into hospital designing. Now, hospital size consideration. There are different aspects to it. Consideration for the hospital size, the optimal size for the functionality and efficiency of the hospital depends on the area which is allocated to them. For example, Raheja Fortis in Mumbai with a bed capacity of 200 beds. So benefit of 200 to 400, it has all the benefits which are included into 200 to 400 bedded hospital, which is adequate department injection, justifies full-time specialist appointment of the doctors. There are alternate challenges which are involved into it with very large hospitals, as well as there are administrative cohesions. Balancing of the hospital expansion projects for the profitability and the community services. The size of the hospital, the site of the hospital, where exactly the hospital has to be located. The area, land required for the proposed bed strength, if it is available. So if you are planning for a 200 or a 400 bedded hospital, the amount of size of land which has been needed, all everything has to be planned, the exit as well as the entry point of the hospital. The parking facility, the involvement of the ambulance inside the casualty area. So everything has to be planned in such a way. So the land acquisitions and the area acquisitions becomes a prime importance for the choosing a site of the hospital. There are collaborations with local planning authorities, as well as the environment consideration. If there are trees plantations, where exactly the trees plantations would happen, where exactly the garden area would be allocated, where exactly the patient sitting, cafeteria, everything would be added. So there is a strategic involvement of how exactly the site would be developed, what would be the scope for the future expansion and growth, what would be the collaborations with the government authorities for town planning, as well as urban site optimization. So there is FSI, the government authorities involved into it, how exactly the FSI would be considered, how exactly the town planning has stipulated the growth or probably the restriction of the height for that particular area, what exactly has been considered. So if we consider basically in Mumbai, there is restrictions of height due to the area which covers the airport authority, or probably there are some areas which are restricted areas or forest areas. So there is some restrictions involved into it. So ensuring the proximity of the community is also important, because eventually the people would be coming in. So people has to have direct access to the hospital. How exactly the direct access to the hospital would be optimized, and how exactly we could be able to go ahead with planning of people reaching out to the hospital. Hospital land requirement in urban areas. In urban areas, basically, there's a premium land rate. So actually acquiring that urban area's land is a pain which most of the hospital administrators or hospital owners face. There are norms for land requirement in crowded localities. Implications of site cover percentage and FR. Understanding the FR as major for the crowding in hospital construction. Economically efficient plot ratios between 0.5 to 1, that is 0.5 is considered as the construction part, and rest of the 0.5 is considered as the vacant area for the hospital. considering the economic factors, which would include high rise, low rise, as well as the environmental factor, the planning factor, the road construction, everything has to be considered, as well as the pipelines, the electricity involvement, the drainage system, everything has to be considered, and then the land acquisition or land requirement is being planned in the urban areas. There's a gross space requirement in the hospital planning. So basically, whatever the land has been allocated, it is not used to the optimum level in most of the areas in the rural region. There's a lot more land which has been involved into hospital planning, but the utilization of the hospital as a constructed building is too less. So due to use of modern technologies and modern tools, there's a planning which is involved, there is a strategic study which is involved, which gives us how to increase the space per bed, as well as distribution of floor space by wards, departments. There's a breakup of space requirements in every hospital, which has been documented and been planned in such a way that each segment of the hospital could be designed in a specific manner. Where exactly there would be OPD place, where exactly there would be wards place, which departments, diagnostics, cafeteria, then the play area, basically for the children's, for OPD, the people who are coming for OPDs. There is a garden area, there is a walk area, there is a recreation area, basically. So different areas are being considered. There is segmentations of different areas, and that is how the breakup of the space requirements in any of the hospital, general hospital, is involved. There's the awareness of gross square footage to accommodate various hospital elements. These various hospital elements would be, if you're planning for an OT, there is different sections of the OT, where a scrub room is involved, a major OT is involved, minor OT is involved, doctor sitting space is involved, CSSD is involved, dry area is involved, there is a area which involves a safety zone, there is an area where doctors would go and recreate them for recreations of the doctors during surgeries. There is a cafeteria involved into the OT. So there is a sterile room, there is non-sterile room, everything is involved. So planning of this particular every department of the hospital becomes a gross strategical, or what we would call it as a planning involvement into it. Now, while considering the hospital, there is a soil and soil structure assessment which has to be done. There are some water levels which are to be considered, because most of the hospitals have basement, base area, where non-administrative work basically happens. The area which requires a store basically, or a administrative work, or a CSSD, or a laundry, these mostly areas are situated in the basement. If there is a water level rise, basically this area would get flooded, and there is storage mostly happening in the basement. So the moisture content of the soil, how exactly the humidity content is there, because every norms of storage of perch which involves in the hospital basically requires certain amount of precisency of how exactly the room temperature would be, how what exactly the storage level would be, how exactly the substance or a ingredients would need to be stored. There's infection policies attached to it. So everything taking into consideration, the soil structures proves an important role. Importance of understanding how exactly it changes, because in a city like Mumbai, which is situated, which is consisting of an islands city, which was brought into consideration with joining four islands, the water level rises tremendously during rainy seasons, and some of the areas basically can't be used as a base area, where people can't have a basement unit into that area due to sea being very adjacent to the city, and during the tides basically water is flown back inside the city. This basically creates a challenge to reclaim that land. So there has to be proper land filling, concrete work, foundation has to be integrated, ensuring what exactly is required to for the regions basically which are prone to higher rainfalls, and how exactly we could countermeasure that, what are the measures which are taken during heavy rainfall, and how exactly we could avoid flooding inside the hospital. That entire thing has to be studied. So soil structure proves an important consideration. Water requirement. Hospital caters large amount of masses inside the hospital. The water requirement inside the hospital is more. There is around 300 to 400 liters of water required per day for every hospital. For having that plan into consideration, we have to have some norms to be taken into consideration. This water would be required for major purpose like cleaning, washing, patient requirement of bathing. So all this taking into consideration, there are some national building codes which have been recommended, and it allows the specific amount of water to be consumed inside the hospital. So this includes like 300 to 400 liters per day, which has been as considered as standard, but it will be more than that. Addressing water requirement for the staff quarters. So if hospital is big enough with 200 to 400 beds in size, there is a staff quarter which has been provided to the staff. So even the staffs has to be taken into consideration while considering the water requirement. So there has to be round the clock supply of water for every emergency reserves. There has to be groundwater harvesting of water. There are some compliances attached to it, which are mentioned in IS 2065 and 1972, which has to be installed and taken into consideration. Drainage and water disposal. While considering the hospital design, there are different aspects into hospital. The major aspect of it is biomedical waste management. Consideration of solid and liquid waste generated into the hospital, there are some compliances made by biomedical waste management rule in 1998. The types of biomedical waste and their proper disposal methods are been mentioned in biomedical waste management rules. Example, radiological waste dispose guidelines are determined by Bhabha Automatic Research Center, whereas there are some other rules involved by the municipal corporation. So ideally, as a layman, everybody would be knowing that people are the hospitals are using three kind of dustbins into it. There is red, yellow, black. So each dustbin holds a different ingredients or different waste materials which are been disposed of, and each waste materials is segregated outside the hospital and is disposed differently. So radioactive substance which are contained in the yellow container or yellow dustbins basically are discarded by Bhabha Atomic Research Center according to their guidelines, whereas black, which is considered as the ideal dustbin for all the general waste which are been procured into the hospitals, are disposed by municipal corporation. There's another waste which has been taken into consideration as red, where organs or probably organs part or the waste product evolved from the disease conditions are been segregated and they are been disposed of. Even this has been taken by the municipal corporations and they are discarded in a different way, not in a proper garbage bin. So hospital electricity requirement. There is a proper planning required for where exactly and how much amount of power is required inside the hospital. The ideal requirement for each bed is 1 kilowatt per bed. Preferably, there has to be multi-grid for continuous electricity supply and standby generation. The need for hospital to have their electric substations for efficient distribution. There is adherence by National Electric Code standards for the power supply, differentiating the standby, safety and special safety supplies for the hospital operations. Why exactly electricity is so important? Understand, a multi-speciality hospital which suffices operation theater, critical care unit, most of the equipments used in operation theater as well as in ICUs or a critical care are electric based. If there is a continuous supply of this electric power supply, then the patients are being stable. If the continuous electric supply has been stopped, there would be disaster which would be happening inside the hospital. The common example which would be given is basically close of grid in Uttar Pradesh district of Bharuch, which caused 24 ICU patients to lose their life only because of the power failure and not having a proper standby electric supplies inside the hospital, which resulted into loss of life of 24 individuals. So understanding the requirement is of electricity is prime importance while hospital planning. Hospital lift installation. Currently, hospital planning has been going into the structures where hospitals are being situated at greater heights. There is a high rise buildings which are being constructed as a hospitals basically. So lifts proves an vital aspects in the hospitals and as well as in the small scale hospitals also. There are some standards attached to the lift with the dimensions of it, where the stretcher would fit, where exactly the wheelchairs would fit, how exactly the transportation of the patients and the patient's relatives would happen, what is the capacity of the lift, what would be the speed for the lift, how exactly the lift would be convenient and accessible for the individuals as well as for the patients and patients' relatives. There would be lift requirements for doctors. The speed requirement is basically to understand if there are some lifts which are of high speed, how exactly that lifts would be operated and where exactly this would be operated. So lifts proves a vital role in transportation of the patients, patients' relatives, as well as doctors inside the hospital. So ensuring that there is alternative power supply for the lift is an important aspect. There is a continuous power supply which is given to the hospital lift. Sometimes, or I would say in India, there are incidences of hospital using lift as an operation theater as a part of emergency, because it acts as a sterile zone as well as a compact area where even a hospital operations could be performed. So lifts plays a vital role in hospital planning. Fire protections in hospital. Owing to certain conditions or certain disasters which has happened in past, most of the examples are related to fire hazards basically happening inside the hospitals. What exactly, there will be different criteria, there will be different norms or why exactly these fires are been happening. But every time, due to fire safety measures which are been accompanied into the hospital or the fire safety measures which are taken into hospital, there is no major incidents in given past 10 years which has resulted in loss of life inside the hospital. As fire safety measures are given as a prime importance while constructing the hospital. There's always an evacuation plan in high-rise urban hospitals during fires. Combustible materials in hospitals and risk of short circuits are taken into consideration. There is key prospective measures for fire accidents. There is a committee which has been involved into it. There is an adherence of National Building Code Bill which identifies the potential risk of fires been taking place inside the hospital, where exactly the internal hospital staircase would be opening up during the fire measures. There is an allocated area for assembly which has been designated while preparing a hospital construction plan. There is a fire safety measures which are been taken, where fire safety materials are placed in each floor, each department, each area which would be considered as a fire fire zone or probably fire restricted areas. There's a division of last section of areas to prevent the fire spread. So ideally in a hospital setup, basically the entry point and the exit point are differentiated in a proper way. This helps us to identify during any hazard or probably any destruction or any fire a fire situation, how exactly the evacuation process would happen? There are designated assembly points. There is how exactly the fire truck would enter. What exactly, where exactly, till how much area the fire truck would be able to cover the area up to. What exactly are the norms? There are fire safety measures which are being taken into consideration. How exactly the evacuation process would happen. So there are definitive measures or definitive windows or areas specified. How exactly the evacuations could take place. There are some areas which are reserved or windows which are reserved, which would help us to identify during fire what exactly measures or where exactly we could be able to come out from. So everything is taken into consideration while designing a hospital, and these are the norms allocated by the government of India, municipal authorities and the state authorities to identify if at all there is risk. What exactly would be the risk measures which would be taken into consideration? Medical gases planning. These are considered as the vital aspects of the hospital. This determine the quality aspects as well as determine how exactly the efficient the hospital would be. This is a critical part of the hospital planning and hospital assessment per se. The planning of use or storage of the medical gases and their applications and the smooth flow of in and out of medical gases is important. So essential of medical gases in modern hospital, the commonly used medical gases and their applications, the overview of manifold system of continuous gas supply throughout the hospital, location for manifold system in the hospital, compliances with color coding for each medical gas pipeline. So there are different gas pipelines inside the hospitals, carbon dioxide, oxygen, nitric acid, all gases are being given a specific color coding. There is a different quality of material which are used for the gas pipelines to be installed inside the hospital. There are different paneling inside the bed to have this pipeline system installed into the bed so that patient won't have to travel much. The wiring or probably the pipe structures of the hospitals are designed in such a manner which would last for a longer duration, maybe 25 years for that purpose. So medical gas pipelines proves to a vital aspect while structure development of a hospital. So considering all these systems of fire, medical gas pipelines, exits, entry, how exactly the transportation of the patients would happen. So there is different engineering departments involved. The various engineering departments related to hospital infrastructures are governed by Public Health Engineering Department of government, as well as Biomedical Engineering Department is responsible for the equipment procurement and their maintenance. And there are some standards given to it. The normal standards, which are ISI standards, which are maintained by the government of India or probably are being governed by government of India. It also involves into public-private sectors involvement. So most of the public or private hospitals have their own public health engineering department, biomedical engineering department. With current norms, every hospital, more than 100 beds, needs to have their biomedical engineer placed inside the hospital round the clock 24/7 to understand the hospital procurement, usage of the biomedical equipments are nothing but the equipments which are used by patients or for patients, as well as the equipments which would run in patient's cure basically. So this equipment has to be functional and maintained in a proper way. So biomedical engineer department plays a vital role in the hospital. Hospital building shapes. There are diverse shapes into the hospitals, various concepts. Depending on the land acquisition, different shapes, different models are being taken into consideration. There's an independent structure which could be taken into consideration, or compact or connected or cohesive, cellular, or central core structure which would be involved. The classic example of this is Seven Hills Hospital, which has 8 buildings attached to each other. by a common entrance, and the access to the hospital is through one entrance, and the exit is through other other side of the building. And each building serves as a purpose to serve each of the building, and is connected internally. So, understanding how exactly the shapes or the functionality or space optimization of the hospital is aligned to. Most of the hospitals are adhered to ISI standards, NABS standards, GCI standards, or probably going ahead with the planning and development commissioning of the government norms. We'll just have a look at what exactly the structures or the buildings are compromising of. So if we take this building into consideration, there are different structures involved into it. There is a low structure basically, probably planned in initial phase. And then there is a structure which is involved with a high-rise building planning later. So both structure as a act as an individual independent structure. There's a compact design structure where probably there is a low storage building which has been considered. Then taking in consideration some part of the area of the low structure building and creating a high-rise out there. The classic example of this is HN Hospital. The Harkisandas Hospital, which is currently part of the old structure, and Reliance Foundation Hospital, which is the part of the HN Hospital itself and is the high-rise building inside the HN Hospital building. So this would be the classic example of it. The connected low and high-rise building. Taking this into consideration, the structure and the designing of Hinduja Hospital would come into place, where there's a connectivity involved into the whole low and high rise building. So this is the initial structure, low rise structure, and then the high rise structure was constructed later and it was interconnected in between. Hinduja as well as Bombay Hospital has a similar kind of structure currently. This is a classic example of Seven Hills, where each entrance specifies to each building and there is an interconnectivity of each building to it. So this is a cohesive low and high rise buildings. This is basically a structure where during Britishers, when they planned a hospital design, they had a classic designing structure where they had a low rise building at front and then high rise building at the back with center core perimeter and the center core. So which would differentiate each department, each structure, each multi-speciality into different zones altogether. The example of it would be KEM Hospital in Mumbai. This is a cellular substructure. The classic example of this cellular hospital basically is the BJ Medical College in Pune, where as well as the JJ Hospital in Mumbai, where cellular structures of building identifies with the different sections or different specialties zone wise. There is a finger plan of hospital. Most of the rudimentary hospitals in Mumbai and some of the secondary hospitals outside Mumbai are planned in this way. The classic example would be Sion Hospital as well as the railway hospital in Baikala. These are the structure of finger plans basically. So hospital planning for hospital, holistic planning for hospital infrastructure, integration of soil, water, waste, electricity, lifts, fire, safety, as well as medical classes are involved into the planning. Importance of compliance with each building codes and standards are important. There are different government agencies, different government sections where compliances are being built up. There are different compliances related to each department which has to be taken into consideration. Tailoring of the hospital design is based on specific needs of the community. So to balance it, there are public and private contribution in the hospital development. Some of the sections of the hospitals might be involved with the government agencies. Some of the sections of the hospitals in government sectors also are belonging to private contributions, where private entities function that hospital unit or a department in such a way that they would be helpful for the government. So which are called as PPP models basically. So ensuring the safety, efficiency and sustainability of the hospital while doing the infrastructure planning is the important aspect, while considering the hospital infrastructure, there is continuous adaptation and evaluation of healthcare needs. So understanding what exactly the healthcare needs are and how exactly we need to plan this, the structures is the important aspect. How exactly we would evolve, what would be the requirement, what would be the future aspect, what would be the future growth of the hospital. Depending on that, the adaptations of the hospitals are being taken into consideration.